Psalm chapter 5, it's the prayer for protection from the wicked, for the choir director, for flute accompaniment, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to thee do I pray. In the morning, O Lord, thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch. For thou art not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with thee. The boastful eye shall not stand before thine eyes. Thou dost hate all who do iniquity. Thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by thine abundant loving kindness, I will enter thy house. At thy holy temple, I will bow in reverence for thee. O Lord, lead me in thy righteousness because of my foes. Make thy way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out. For they are rebellious against thee. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them sing forever for joy. And mayest thou shelter them, and those who love thy name may exalt in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. Amen. Amen. This was a morning prayer of David. It was sent to the worship leader or the choir director. And again, like I said last week, that they either believe the choir director is God. In other words, this is a message to God. It could be both, but primarily it's a message to the choir director. And this particular song was especially meant to be played with the flute. And so if you remember the psalm that we read the other day, Psalm 4, that was being meant to be played with string instruments. So you see how much David puts into all of these songs that he offers the Lord. And the purpose of this psalm is David coming to the Lord in the morning and receiving the strength and joy that he needs to make it through the day, especially in the face of his enemies that are there. So let's go through the psalm a bit. Let's try to find some good points of reflection and meditation. But it starts here. Give ear to my words. Notice call it the trifecta. Give ear, consider, heed. And so he's basically using kind of the Hebrew method, and is repeating basically the same idea three times. And this is the heart. David longs for an audience with God. Give ear, consider, and heed. He's starting off the psalm by saying, Lord, please listen to me. Please hear my cry. Please weigh my words. Please weigh my thoughts that I'm offering to you. This is an important part of prayer. Is that we are earnest in saying, God, please listen to what I'm saying to you. Please give ear and to my words. Consider my groaning, or probably a better translation is consider my meditation. And heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. So the next part there in verse 2, that you can't really get past. But he says, for to thee do I pray. In other words, David prayed to God. I know this sounds so basic, but it's so important. It's such an essential part of our prayer life, is that we pray to God. I think there are so many times that we lose, and when we pray, we lose that conscious focus on God. And we just pray. We mouth words. We say phrases, and we do these things. But for David, he said, Lord, it's to you. Lord, I pray to you. I don't pray to the air. I don't just mouth words. Lord, I pray to you. You are the focus of my prayer. And it's this conscious focus on God and the sense of his presence. Brothers and sisters, when you're praying, do you have that? I know sometimes, like at EMP, I see people falling asleep when they're praying. And I mean, I'm not calling people out, and it's not the worst thing that happens, is at least you're there, you know. But the reality is you probably are not consciously focusing on God and a sense of his presence. David was such a man of prayer because his prayer time was focused on God. For to thee do I pray. Lord, I pray to you. I'm focused. I'm consciously focused on you, Lord, and in your presence, a sense of their presence. I found this quote, R.A. Torrey. He wrote this. He says, very much of so-called prayer, both public and private, is not unto God. In order that a prayer should be really unto God, there must be a definite and conscious approach to God when we pray. We must have a definite and vivid realization that God is bending over to us and listening as we pray. I love that. That God is in heaven and he's bending down to us and he's listening as we pray. Do we pray with that kind of conscious effort and conscious focus on him and the sense of his presence? We can't lose sight of that. Lord, for to thee do I pray. I think a lot of times we mouth words. I think a lot of times we say phrases and we get into a phraseology. I know I do. I do that. And there's certain words and phrases that I say, and I get so caught up in that instead of realizing, Lord, I'm not trying to impress you, Lord. I'm speaking to you. For to you, Lord, for to thee do I pray. And I think it's so important, and we can't ever lose sight of that, that when we pray, we are praying to God. We're not praying to ourselves. We're not praying to the air. We're praying to God. There's a conscious focus on God, as if he is bending over and listening to us as we pray. I think that's so important, that he's bending over and listening to us as we pray. And then in verse 3, he says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch. David made it a point to pray in the morning. Thus, this is why at SP, this is why we have morning prayer. We have evening prayer sometimes, but primarily it's in the morning. It's because David wants to honor God in the beginning of his day. We want to honor God in the beginning of our day. And it really sets the tone for the rest of the day. And I think it's so important that what we come to the Lord in morning prayer, and we basically dedicate this time to the Lord. It's so important for us, and it's better than evening prayer. Evening prayer should be short. Evening prayer should just be thanking God for what happened during the day. But it's the morning prayer, and I'll just borrow from the words of Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, he said this. He says, this is the fittest time for connecting with God. An hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. You like that? It says, an hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. It's the fittest time for connecting with God. And we see this example through the scriptures. We see David coming to the Lord constantly. We see the prophets coming to constantly in the morning. We see Jesus going before the Lord early in the morning. And it's something quite important. There's a story of Hudson Taylor, and he was so busy, his schedule and everything. He was so busy doing the work in the ministry, and that he couldn't. He lamented the fact that he couldn't find time to pray. So it said that he would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning just to be with the Lord, and it's pretty amazing. I remember years ago we had a speaker at SP in our men's retreat, and very similar. He's very prophetic guy. I would say he's more of a contemplative than maybe prophetic, but you know, in that same mode. And he was sharing with us, and here's this businessman, you know, living in Beijing. He's an American, and he said that you know, with all of his kids, he's so busy and all these things, and so he would wake up at 3 a.m. Actually, change his whole sleep schedule just so he can have quiet time and be with the Lord. It's so challenging. But in the Lord, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, right? The best time to connect with God. An hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. And in the morning, this is what David says he'll do. In the morning, I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch. And so David actually gave us a great idea of what to do before and after prayer. So before we pray, we order our prayer before the Lord. The word order, actually, or maybe another way of saying it is arrange. This actually was the idea of the sacrifice. And the priests would, in the morning, lay out and order the arrange the wood, arrange the sacrifice and the altar before the Lord. And what David was saying, David uses that specific word, the same word that all these guys would be used to. And so if you were living around that time and you read this or you heard this, you immediately thought about the priests in the temple ordering the altar. You know, arranging, laying the wood, relaying the pieces of meat upon the altar, and also putting the showbread upon the table. And what David is saying here is in the same way, it's his way of sacrifice. He's laying everything out before the Lord. So he's ordering his prayer. That's what he does before he prays, and then after he prays, he eagerly watches. In other words, he watches with expectancy that God will answer him. And so he arranges, he gets himself ready. And so, I mean, honestly, this could be like a quiet space. This could be turning your phone off. This could be turning the TV down. It could be getting your book, in your favorite chair. Or whatever it may be, but you order, you arrange yourself before you start to pray. You don't let all these things, you know, get in the way. You order yourself, and then after you pray, you watch to see what God's going to do. You eagerly watch to see how God is going to answer your prayers. And so David is laying out in really these first three verses some of the best teaching really in all of the Bible on prayer. On simply going before the Lord. But it doesn't stop at verse 3, so we continue on. And then it goes down from verse 4, and it says, you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. And so this is, it's seeming like, okay, this doesn't seem to flow. You know, I'm going to order myself and do this. Well, David now is really talking about what happens when we pray. And so when you draw closer to the Lord, what ends up happening is you become more and more aware of God's holiness, but also your own sinfulness. And like in a Matt Redman song, you know, when we draw close to God, we see more of his greatness, but more of our weakness. And in fact, this is probably a really good way to measure, you know, how close you are drawing near to prayer. Because if you're drawing close to God, or you're just merely mouthing words, and you're not having an increasing sensitivity to sin, then you're probably really not praying. You're really not drawing close. Because the closer we get to the Lord, where we see his holiness and we feel it, and what it does, it reminds us of our sins so that we can repent and confess and continue to draw near before the Lord, right? In other words, having an increased sensitivity to sin is inevitable since we are approaching a holy God. And that's what he's talking about here. And he says in verse 7, "But as for me, by thine abundant loving kindness, I will enter thy house." In other words, David is reflecting here, and this was David's confidence. It wasn't that David felt he was righteous, you know, more righteous than other sinners. We know that's not true. He was very sinful. But his confidence was the loving kindness of God, the hesed, the mercy of God. And so he can enter the house of the Lord. He can enter not by his merit, right, but because of the loving kindness of God. And as New Testament Christians, we can understand this because we come into the house of the Lord, not by our merit, but because of the sacrifice of his son, the loving kindness which resulted in Jesus on the cross. And so that's why we can enter the house with confidence and gladness. And then he finishes off this kind of idea. He says, "O Lord, lead me in thy righteousness because of my foes. Make thy way straight before me." And David recognized, listen, as he's getting closer to the Lord, he sees his sinfulness and he sees the greatness of God. But then he thanks God. He realizes that he doesn't come by his own merit. He comes because of his loving kindness, because of the mercy, the grace of God. And so then the only way that he knows, "Lord, I'm so close to being a wicked man. I'm like right there, and I could at any moment fall into that trap. And so, Lord, please make my way straight. Please make your way straight before me." And it's David's reliance on God. He needed God to lead him and to make his way straight. He knew that it was only God's power and work in him that kept him from the way of the wicked. And it's so important. And so you see, you know, this line of thought that happens here. "Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm getting myself ready to pray. I'm praying. I'm watching what you're doing." And then now as he's praying, he begins to see wickedness in his heart. He sees the holiness of God. He sees where he falls short. And then he thanks God that he can come to him, not because of his own righteousness, but because of his loving kindness, you know. And then with that, he recognizes that at any moment he could go astray. And so he needs the Lord to make his path straight before him. And then in verse 9 and on, he's basically, this is why he's praying. There seems to be certain men that are really speaking wickedness of him. This is why he's coming to this place. It's a prayer of protection from the wicked. And they seem to be saying things about him or in this way. And David here focuses in verse 9, says there's nothing reliable in what they say, and so on and so forth. David really understood this whole idea. In Matthew 12:34, it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And it's this unrighteousness, this wickedness that basically sooner or later shows up in our speech, whatever is deep within. And so David felt the sting of these wicked words and lies that were against him. But, you know, it's interesting. But yet this prayer shows that something good came out of these attacks from the enemy. And, you know, call it a silver lining. What were the good things? He became a man of prayer. That's one of these things. You know, the enemy throws a lot of different things our way. And the grace and the benefit that comes outside of that is that we pray. You know, as I continue to reflect on Job that we just finished, Job kept going to the Lord. It made him more of a man of prayer than he was before in his circumstances. And so, you know, in reflection of that, David is speaking. And then it just rounds it up, verse 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them sing, ever sing for joy, and mayest thou shelter them. See, the righteous aren't made righteous by their words. The righteous are those who trust the Lord and love his name. And what happens is God gives them joy. And that's such a great takeaway, right? But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. And this is what God does. God gives us joy. Gives us joy despite our circumstances. That's real joy, by the way. God gives us joy despite our circumstances. God gives us gladness and happiness in our hearts before the Lord. And in verse 12, I love verse 12. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. I pray all the time for God's favor. I pray all the time for God's blessing. I mean, I'm not just in my life, but, you know, in our church, in our city, over my kids, my wife, I'm constantly praying for the favor of God, always asking for the favor of God. And it's so important. This is the one of the greatest blessings of all is God's favor, right? That God, that we simply know that God looks upon us with favor and pleasure. This is really our standing in grace before the Lord. And what does the favor do? The favor is a shield about us. Now, if you think about in war, right, a shield doesn't protect just one part of the body. It's not like our armor. You know, you have the armor on. The shield protects everything. It's large. It's mobile. It covers, you know, all and any areas of the body. It's what they say. It's armor over armor. And you wouldn't just be with the shield by itself. You already have armor on you. And then the shield is extra covering, extra protection. That's what the favor of God is. There's always already a blessing, but there's favor that he has for us, and it covers us. It protects us even more. There's a really famous story of Martin Luther, and he was called to face a cardinal from the Roman Catholic Church to answer for his heretical teachings. And one of the cardinal servants started taunting him, and he asked this question. He says, "Where will you find shelter if your patron, the Elector of Saxony?" This is what Frederick the Wise, and he was his patron. He was the one that kind of protected Luther. But this servant of the cardinal's taunts him and says, "Where will you find shelter if your patron, the Elector of Saxony, should desert you?" And Luther answered, "Under the shelter of heaven." Under the shelter of heaven. Brothers and sisters, where will you find shelter when your finances are gone, when your health is gone, when all these things that we put our trust in, that it goes away, our jobs, you know, these securities that we lay out before ourselves, and the only place we can find is the shelter of heaven. So let's close our eyes, and beautiful psalm. And let's ask the Lord, Lord, give ear to my words. Consider my meditation. Hearken your voice to our cries. And in this morning, let's go before the Lord.
my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. Lost without you.
Well, let's go before the Lord. Let's give him our meditations. Let's ask for his, let's pray to God a conscious understanding of his presence. Let's repent if we've been going through the motions in our prayers. Let's go before him right now. Let's give him our full attention, the fullness of our thoughts, our words. Now let's pray for that focus today. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray over our community that are bound with your illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's cover our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray over our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for China. Let's ask the Lord to continue to breathe His spirit over this land. Let's pray for SP Beijing and SP Shanghai. Let's pray for the Chungs and churches. Pray for our leaders there, our communities, that they would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And let's pray that He would be glorified in the midst of them. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask the Lord to just bless our men and women of God and really use them to make wise decisions. Let's just pray for covering and protection over themselves, their families, and their work. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries and let's pray for our young adults, especially the emotionally healthy spirituality course being run by Pastor Andrew. Let's pray for wisdom and favor and real drawing near. Let's pray for our men's ministry, our Monday morning prayer, and our women's ministry, Tuesday lunchtime prayer in Oasis. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really lead our ministries. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our building and resources. And let's continue to cover the vision fund and pray for benefactor. Ask the Lord to really bless us with space going forward. Let's pray over our house churches tonight, Blue Pool, Fortress, Lido, Line Rock, New Conduit, TST, Ventris, and Westville. This week is the last house church of this season. Let's pray for a deep connection. Let's pray for a good ending to this season. And lastly, let's just pray for Hong Kong. Let's continue to lift our city up. Let's pray that the cases would go down. Pray for people who have COVID, that they would be healed, and that people would not be operating out of fear, but they would really draw closer to God. Pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for David's psalm, God. We thank you that, Lord, that he prays to you, Lord, that he calls out to you. There's a conscious, Lord, effort, Lord, and experience, God, of your presence, Lord. And forgive us, God, when we just go through the motions. Lord, we want to come to you in the morning. We want to give you the first fruits, the first part of our day, God, the most important part, the first part, Lord, and we give it to you. So come, God, and be attentive to our prayers, God. Lead us, Lord, and we pray for your favor. But I pray for all of our brothers and sisters out there right now, Lord, that the grace and favor of God would be a shield around us, Lord. And we thank you. We love you so much, God. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.